Open up this morning to the Gospel of John, chapter number 14. This is what God's laid on my heart this morning, and I'll just try to share these thoughts with you. I've not really preached this before anywhere else, but I feel like this is what God's laid on my heart, and I certainly need the help of the Lord this morning. There's nothing, no ability, no magic turn of phrases today that I can share with you that will bring you any closer to God, but if the Spirit of God would be pleased to deal with your heart and make the Word of God real to you and speak to you personally, friend, then that's what we need today. And that's my prayer, that the Lord would speak to us above and beyond my limitations. And so that's my prayer today. But as we look here in John chapter 14, if you found your place you'd like to stand, we'll stand and we'll reverence the reading of the Word of God together. I want to focus in here on one verse in particular, but we'll start reading in verse number 1 and we'll read down a few verses here. The Bible says, and these are very familiar verses and very encouraging verses, but I want us to read down a little ways and we'll get to the verse I feel like the Lord would have us to deal with this morning. The Bible says here in chapter 14 of the Gospel of John, verse number 1, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And whither I go, you know, and the way you know. Thomas saith unto him, Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way? Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. If ye had known me, ye should have known my Father also, and from henceforth ye know him and have seen him. Philip saith unto him, Lord, show us the Father, and it sufficeth us. Jesus saith unto him, Have I been so long time with you, and yet hast thou not known me, Philip? He that hath seen me hath seen the Father. And how sayest thou then, Show us the Father?" Let's bow in a word of prayer. Father, we thank you for your goodness and your mercy to us today. Lord, I thank you for allowing us to gather together, Lord, again in this place. Lord, and I pray that, Father, you would speak to our hearts as only you can here in this service this morning. Lord, I pray you'd give us ears that would hear. I pray you'd give us hearts that would receive your word with gladness. And I pray, God, that we would have a humble and an obedient spirit, Lord, that, God, we would not kick against anything that you say to us today, but that we would be obedient to whatsoever thou sayest. Lord, I pray, God, that you would draw us ever closer and ever nearer to the precious Lamb of God. I pray that we would see him high and lifted up. I pray for those, Lord, that are yet in darkness, that you would lighten their eyes. I pray, Father, for those, Lord, who, God, have been awakened to their need, God, that you would draw them on, Lord, and bring them, Lord, into the harbor and in the haven of rest and peace here today, Lord. God, I pray, Father, now that you'd meet with us, speak to our hearts, give us what we need. Lord, I pray, Father, that the Lamb of God would be magnified. Lord, I cast myself upon you, Lord, and I'm helpless without you. Ask you to undertake for us in this service and speak to our hearts. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. You may be seated. Thank you for standing this morning. I want to focus in on verse number 9 and really just a part of the verse and take our thought from that this morning. And sort of breaking protocol a little bit this morning, I guess. I usually don't preach like this. Usually I'll just take a verse or a couple verses and just dig in and just take my time and work through it. But I feel like this is what we need to look at this morning. And again, if the Lord will help us and the Lord will speak to our hearts, then we'll get what we need. And if it's just me speaking, then friend, we're in a mess already. But looking here in verse number 9, the Bible again says, Jesus saith unto him, Have I been so long time with you, and yet hast thou not known me? I want to preach for just a little bit this morning on Christ present, yet a stranger. Christ present, yet a stranger. Again, Jesus saith unto him, Have I been so long time with you, and yet hast thou not known me? Now I understand here in the context of this portion of Scripture that the Lord is speaking to His disciples. But I believe that we can draw a thought out of this verse and apply it not only to those who are believers, but I believe we can apply it also to those who have been awakened and those who yet sit in darkness. Those of us who are gathered here today in this place, friend, there is a great difference in this congregation. There are those who have been saved, those who have been made aware of their need of salvation, and yet there are those who sit blinded today and dead in their trespasses and sins and do not even realize that they need a Savior. And I believe that there is a word for all of us today in this verse. Christ had been with His disciples night and day during the 3 years of His ministry. They had seen Him in all situations, walking on the sea, feeding the multitudes, raising the dead. They had heard all His words in the synagogues, in the temple, in the fields. He had fed them with milk and not with strong meat, giving them instruction just as they were able to bear it. And yet it is amazing how blind they were to His glory and His greatness. They were foolish and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets had spoken concerning Him, and all that He had spoken concerning Himself. This was the last night that Jesus was to be with His disciples, and His heart was full of tenderness, which is not of the world. But the more full and tender His holy heart became, the more dull and undiscerning did His disciples become. Philip saith unto Him, Lord, show us the Father, and it sufficeth us. Jesus saith unto him, Have I been so long time with you, and yet hast thou not known me, Philip? I wonder how many of us sitting here this very morning have tried to negotiate with the Lord, and we've tried to set terms with the Lord and say, Lord, if you just do this, Lord, if you just show me that, Lord, if you just perform this miracle, or if you just answer this prayer the way that I want it answered, Lord, then I would be assured that You are who You say You are, and I'd believe and I would follow, Lord, if You just do this or that. And friend, we have already been given so much evidence. We have already heard it echoed in preaching down through the years. We have seen it evident in Scriptures. And yea, we can look back over our lives and see where the hand of God has actively been working on our behalf. And yet we still ask for more. Lord, if you just do one more thing, I'd believe that you are who you say you are. But friend, it doesn't work like that. God has given us all the evidence that we need. And isn't it amazing as we study here just how long-suffering the Lord is with His disciples? Isn't it amazing that He doesn't, just as He is preparing Himself to go to Calvary and to suffer and to die in my place and in your place, as He is preparing to be made sin, He who knew no sin, as He is preparing, friend, to feel the stripes upon His back, and He is preparing to have the beard plucked from His face, and He is preparing to feel the nails driven into His hands and His feet, and He is preparing to have the wrath of Almighty God poured out upon Him, and He's preparing to take the cup of the judgment of Almighty God and drink down the last dregs of it. That wrath, that judgment that I deserved and you deserved, and by our sins we had earned, He is preparing to take all of that on Himself. And friend, isn't it amazing that He would yet have the patience not to throw His hands up and say, I am done with you lot. I'm done with this crowd. I've been with you night and day. You have seen my miracles. You have heard my teaching. You have seen my manner of life and all of its perfection. And you still do not believe.
Right.
But aren't you glad that He's patient?
Yes, sir.
And He's long-suffering.
Oh, yeah.
And friend, how many times has He done something for you again?
Right.
And again. And again. To give you just one more evidence on top of 1,000 other evidences that He is the Lord. But what's more, that He cares for you.
Yes.
Two thoughts that stand out to me regarding His tenderness. He reminds Philip that he had been with him. Mm-hmm. He says it there in our text. Have I been so long time with you? Friend, this is Jesus Christ, the Son of God, who is equal with the Father, was in the bosom of God, and yet had come and dwelt with men. He had left the company of the worshiping angels to company with them. The King of glory dwelt with worms. Had He smiled on them from heaven, that would have been wonderful in itself. But He says, I have been with you by the wayside and by the well, with you on the sea and in the wilderness. I have been, as it were, your elder brother, and yet have you not known me. Friend, what a testimony of His tender mercies. The very fact that He ever came to be with us. But then also, not only had He been with them, but notice He says that He had been a long time with them. So long time. Had it been for a moment that the Son of God had visited the earth, that would have been wonderful. But it was for years. Years He had gone in and out with them. He had taught them, opened the Scriptures to them, instructed them in prayer, led them all the way and at all times, and was willing to explain everything to them, even though they would not receive it. What tenderness there is in this word. Have I been so long? Friend, can I ask you, whatever condition you're in this morning, is it not a testimony and a mark of the tender mercies of God?
Amen.
That the same could be said of you?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
He has been so long time with you.
Right.
Oh, friend, even before you ever felt Him, before you ever even acknowledged that He was dealing with you, that He was moving in your life, friend,
yes,
He was still there.
Yes, sir.
He was still moving. And friend, even since then, there have been seasons in your life when you have been cold, when you have been distant, when you have been indifferent, and yet that does not change the fact that He has still been a long time with you.
That's right.
He's not left you.
That's right.
He's not forsaken you. He's not abandoned you.
Right.
He's still dealing with you.
Right.
He's still moving in your life.
Right.
He's still working on your behalf. Oh, even whenever we give little to no thought about Him, friend, His thoughts and His care is never far from us.
Right.
Here is the man, Christ Jesus, divine in His person, in His character, and in His conduct, unveiling the Father to babes in grace who do not and cannot understand the charm that first drew them and then bound them to Him.
Right.
But He who once sojourned here below now sits exalted high at the right hand of God. In bodily presence, He is not among us. He is not to be seen this morning by mortal eye. Yet in spirit He abides with us, and His presence is known and felt by gracious hearts. Believe me, He is the same Jesus. He is by no means changed. The terms on which He would have us live with Him and walk with Him are far above that of mere servants.
Right.
He calls us friends. Why do you think He does that? It is because, friend, we have done so much for Him? No. It is because He has done so much for us.
Right.
He has told us so much, kept nothing back that is to our good. He is our friend. He is our counselor. And He would have us come to Him and ask His advice in the most frank and simple manner. When we feel that we lack wisdom, friend, isn't it sweet to know that He never upbraids us? I've had people come and ask me questions, and friend, I'd like to tell you I've always been gracious in dealing with individuals. But friend, there have been times when I failed miserably.
Amen.
And to my own shame, I've mistreated people. And I've answered them harshly.
Yes,
and I've upbraided them and made them to feel ignorant because they didn't know. But friend, the further along I go, the more ignorant I am. And friend, the more I find myself having to run back to the Lord and ask Him, give me wisdom.
Yes, sir.
I don't know. I know that I ought to know. I know that I ought to be further along than this. I know that You've taught me and You've told me and You've given me the Spirit of God whereby I may be led into truth. But Lord, I'm still ignorant. And never once has He upbraided me.
That's
Never once has he turned me away, and I've walked away being made to feel as I was ignorant and stupid. But he's always been gracious in dealing with me. Thank God for the tender mercies of the Lord. Thank God he always gives liberally to those who ask him. We may play the child with him, but thank God he is not pleased to abuse us and to mistreat us. Our prayers may be full of inquiries. Our supplications may be laden with difficulties that we cannot unravel. Yet he will condescend to explain them all. And by his Spirit, he will continue to teach and lead us further into the truth of God. Friend, come to him with your childlike spirit. Come to him with your questions.
Yes, sir.
Friend, bring your troubles and your cares that you can't figure out and you cannot make heads or tails of, and crawl up in his lap.
That's right.
And rejoice that he is merciful and long-suffering.
Yes.
And that he's not going to slap you around and berate you and make you feel little because you don't know. Thank God, he who has been a long time with you,
that's right,
will continue to be merciful.
Yes, sir.
I'd speak to you this morning concerning those who are Christians, those who are believers today. Christ has been with believers. There's no doubt about it. For you would not be a believer had Christ not come to be with you. He says to every child of God, I have been with you. And what's wonderful is this, if he has been with you, he then will never cease to be with you.
That's right. Amen.
Friend, if you're saved here today, I would remind you that he's been with you in conversion, mm-hmm, in redemption.
Yes.
It is the revealing of Christ to the soul which brings it to peace. You study through the Word of God, and we don't have time to go through all of it this morning or even this week. But you begin to study, whether it be in the Old Testament or the New Testament, anyone who is brought to faith in the Lord, it is not because one day they determined in their mind or heart that they were going to be a better person, or they were going to become a Christian, or they were going to leave their old ways and their old paths. But friend, you'll find that it is always that the Lord has graciously revealed himself to them.
That's right. Yes, sir. Amen.
And so it is still. Christ is with the soul in conversion. Are you converted today? Are you a child of God? Have you been redeemed? Then, friend, you can say without any doubt that Jesus has been with you.
Right.
He came to where you were, opened your blinded eyes, gave you ears that you might hear, removed the heart of stone and put in its place a heart of flesh, that you might receive the Word of God with gladness. And friend, it's not that one day you were in the tomb of your depravity and you determined to kick the stone walls out and rise above your natural state. But the reality is you were in the same condition as Lazarus. You were bound in your death clothes and you could not set yourself free.
Right.
But thank God Jesus came by your way one day. And he spoke to your heart, and he bid you come out, and he bid the stone be rolled away, and he bid the deaf clothes be removed, and he set you free.
That's right. That's
friend,
right.
You follow the text there in John, in the very next chapter after Lazarus is set free from the tomb and raised from the dead. You will find that he is very intimately sitting at the table with Jesus, fellowshipping and feasting with the Lord. And so it is with every believer.
Yes,
sir. Friend, you didn't pick yourself up by your bootstraps one day and say, I've got to do better. I'll never forget growing up in church, hearing the testimony of one man that I looked up to a great deal as a young person. And I remember now him giving his testimony, and it consisted of this. Me and my wife, we were dating. She got pregnant, and we decided, well, we better get married, and we better start going to church because our child needs to be in Sunday school. And that was the extent of his testimony.
Amen.
Friend, it's more than just trying to reform yourself. It's more than just trying to do better on the account of your children. Friend, you ought to bring them to church. You ought to have them under the sound preaching of the Word of God. That's the only hope for your children, is to hear the gospel, and that the Spirit of God deal with their heart in mercy. But friend, that's not conversion. That's not salvation. Just trying to better yourself and make your home a little easier and get a little religion from you for your children. But friend, it is God Himself revealing the person of the Lord Jesus Christ to your heart, and you seeing Him for who He is. The Redeemer. The Lamb who bore your sins on Calvary and died in your place. Oh, the Christian, the believer can say that he has been with them in the wilderness. Oh, the soul leans on her beloved coming up out of the wilderness. Over there in Song of Solomon, we read there of the Shulamite. And we read there, and they declare as they watch and say, who is she that cometh up out of the wilderness? Leaning on her beloved. Oh, friend, she had been through some wilderness places. And had she been left to herself, she'd have surely perished there. She faced situations and circumstances that would have overcome her had she been alone. But all the way my Savior leads me. And friend, as I look back, I realize the only way I've made it this far is because I've been leaning on Him who will never stumble, who will never fail, who will never lose me. He has been with us in the wilderness. There's some of you who can testify here today that He has been with you in times of affliction. Isn't it wonderful to see that it seems as though He is ever closer, oftentimes when we are in the midst of the fire and the water. When thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee. I will not leave you. We are not to be abandoned orphans. If you be Christians and true Christians here today, you have felt that Christ is with you in the day of adversity. When storms are raging, Jesus stands in the midst and says, peace.
Right.
Be still.
Right.
Are there any among us today who you have stood in the midst of the storm? And you thought to yourself, surely this will be my undoing. Only to have Christ step out into the midst and speak peace both to the storm and to your heart.
Right.
He's with us in afflictions. I cannot help but think about those three young Hebrew men in the furnace in the book of Daniel. And when the old king looked into the furnace to survey his handiwork so that he might boast in his authority and his power, there was a fourth man. And he said, he is like unto the Son of God. I was talking to my brother the other day, and a young man that had been coming to the church. I say young man, he's my age. To some of you, I'm a young man.
Sure.
To some of
sure.
you, I'm looking older. You just hold on.
Yeah.
I went to school with him. I've told this here before. Went to school with him. We run around together all the way through elementary school, middle school. Started out high school together, and he got in trouble. Ended up going into the military. It was either spend time in prison or join the military. So he joined the military. Lost track of him. Didn't hear anything out of him. And then not long ago, found out he moved in just a few miles down the road from my brother out there in Oklahoma. Man, we've been praying for him that God would do something for him. So I knew things do not happen by chance or by mistake. I believe God's sovereign.
Sure is. Amen.
And how about God to take a man from Saluda, North Carolina, and put him in the middle of nowhere in Oklahoma, a Baptist preacher, and take another man from Saluda, North Carolina, and put him in the middle of nowhere in Oklahoma, a man who needs to be saved. And God's done a work in his heart and is opening his eyes and revealing the truth of the gospel to him. And I've been so excited to hear what God is doing. My brother went to see him the other day and sat down with him. They're now coming to the church all the time now. They don't miss any services. And he said, I've got a question for you. And Brian said, well, I'll try to answer it if I can. He said, over there in Daniel. He said, when them boys were put in that furnace.
Yeah.
He said, who was that fourth man in there with them? Brian said, well, that was Jesus, Son of God.
Right.
He said, old Jared jumped up off the couch and slapped his hands and said, I knew it. I knew it was. I knew that had to be Jesus in there with them boys.
Right. Amen.
Boy, I thank God for that, for the truth, for the reality. Friend, Christ does not abandon us in the midst of our afflictions, but He is with us through all the fire and all the flood. Then can I say He is with us in prayer, where two or three are gathered together in My name, there am I in the midst of them. Thank God He is near at our breathing out our cries and our offering up our prayer with much intercession. Thank God He never misses the simplest cry of the simplest believer. Christ is with us, those of us who have been saved. And then can I also say this? Not only has He been with us, and these are simple thoughts. I'm not going to deviate a great deal here. But if we're believers here today, we can say that Christ has been a long time with us.
That's right.
Have I been so long time with you, He says. Christ has been only 3 years, a little over 3 years with the disciples when He said this. He has been a much longer time with some of us. Look back, dear friends, on the way by which He has led you. This day, friend, look back and see that He was not only with you when He saved you, but He has been with you ever since. The fact of the matter is this, He has anchored you to Himself. And friends, you cannot drift far from Him. You will not be left to your own devices and your own ways. But thank God He is long time with us. He will lead us every step of the way. How long time has Christ been with you? Some of you who are up in years, maybe you were converted as a younger man or a younger woman, and you have had a lifetime with Christ. He has been with you as your surety, as your strength, as your friend, as your advocate with His Father. He has been with you for many, many years. Friend, that's better, I reckon, than if I could say that some great dignitary, some president, some politician had become my friend, and that we had been close friends all the days of our life. Friend, I would not get near as much from that friendship and that closeness as I have, knowing that Jesus Christ is my friend and He cares for me. Who else could it be said of that I can cast all my care upon Him, for He careth for me? I've got friends, I've got family, I've got people I know that they love me, but I cannot cast all my care upon them. They have their own cares. And they sure cannot bear to carry my load altogether. Friend, I can go to Jesus, who is my friend, who sticketh closer than a brother, and cast all my care on Him. Over and over and over again, because He careth for me. Thank God, just as He said to Zacchaeus on that day, today I must abide at thy house. Mm-hmm. The day that He saved you, He said, today I must abide with you.
Sure.
And He's never left you since that day.
Right.
He's always been with you. Some of you maybe have not had the knowledge of Christ as long as others. But even to have Christ with you for a single day is, friend, the sweetness of eternity in your soul. It is so great an honor. It is so rich a blessing. There is a day at hand when you will reckon a moment spent with Christ as more than all your life before.
Right.
A day spent in thy courts is better than a thousand. Even that thief that hung next to Jesus, he had but just a few hours left in this life. But when he was brought to the knowledge of Christ, I believe he could have said, thank God, He has been a long time with me, and He will ever yet be longer with me, for He has promised, today shalt thou be with me in paradise. But can I say this? Just as we find a gentle reproof and a rebuke here in our text, so there is one for us as well. Christ reproves believers for knowing so little of Him. And I'll just say this from the outset. We've talked about it some before. I don't believe all those who claim to be believers are believers. I believe in my heart that the reason there is a great deal of ignorance in many churches today is because many churches are filled of unregenerate men.
That's exactly right.
And what's sadder than that is many pulpits
That's
are filled with unregenerate men.
Yes, sir.
And truth has fallen in the street.
That's right.
And yet there are those of us who have been saved and redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. And friend, if you're anything like me, you will find yourself ashamed at times that you do not know more of Him than you do. Hast thou not known me, Philip? The apostles knew much of Christ, and yet they were slow of heart to believe all. So is it with Christians now. They know much of Christ, yet they are slow of heart to believe it. There are many signs that Christians do not know much of Christ. Isn't it sad? And again, I preface this statement With that, I do not believe that we ought to be an ignorant people.
Right.
Friend, learn all you can of Him.
Yes, sir.
Study. Make use of the resources that are made available to you. We have the precious Word of God, the whole canon of Scriptures, that we might learn of Him who is our Lord and our Savior. But how many of you also enjoy pulling the old books off the shelf and reading the old sermons and the old illustrations of men of God from bygone ages? All the resources we have, and I'm not against those things. But friend, oftentimes we file those things away in our minds, and yet we never believe them with our hearts. Oh, we can call them back to remembrance, and we can share with others what we have learned and what we have picked up through our studies, and yet, how often is it true that we have never made those truths precious to our own hearts, that they might cause us to walk in closer fellowship with our Lord and our Savior? We see the evidence of this in that we find there is little peace among the body of believers in this age. There is a very little sense of being pardoned. There are some who even shy away from discussing the reality of having sins forgiven.
Right.
They'll talk to you about anything else, but don't bring up Christ. Don't bring up the Lamb of God. Don't bring up Calvary. Don't bring up His sacrifice and His substitutionary death. Oh, you can ask them, oh, dear brother, can you rejoice that your sins have been forgiven you? And is it not sad there are many who cannot and will not? Now again, it may be that some just have never been saved. But friend, isn't it sad that we know so little of our Lord and Savior that we spend a great deal of our time in turmoil of mind and heart because we have not yet learned to rest in Jesus Christ? There's little peace. There's also little communion with God. Friend, we must be so careful because this can happen to any of us.
Yes, sir.
And that doesn't mean that you've shut your Bible and you've put it on a shelf somewhere. It doesn't mean that you've left off your prayer time. But friend, if we're not careful, we can get into the rut of just doing what we know we ought to do, and we can read our Bible and take nothing away from it. We can spend our time in prayer and feel as though nothing has been done. We live in a generation that knows hardly nothing of communing with the Lord, spending time with Him. I thank God that when He called me to preach, He put some men and individuals in my life who stressed the importance of spending time alone with God. They did not tell us as young men, you don't need to worry about studying, you don't need to worry. Praise God, they encouraged us to get all the knowledge we could, do all the studying you can do. But praise God for a Raymond Geist that said, boys, you better go get in a laurel thicket somewhere and pray and pray and pray until God meets with you. Friend, I love coming and being in meetings like this and preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. But some of my most precious times and moments have been when there's no one else around. And it's just been me and the living God, and He's made Himself real to me in seasons of prayer and studying the Scriptures when the truths have just leapt off the pages and become so real to my heart. There is a reality missing in this day of communing with the living God.
Right.
I'm not talking about anything strange. I'm not talking about some charismatic movement. I have never found myself in the presence of God where I passed out and had convulsions on the floor. I've never been moved to speak in some strange tongue. But friend, I have been moved to draw ever closer to my loving and lovely Lord Savior. But friend, there have been seasons in my life when I am ashamed to tell you that I have been so cold and so distant. Little communion. I'd say this, there's little holiness in this day. Friend, I'm telling you, I dread seeing the warmer months come. Because I know I'm going to have to walk around town with my eyes on the ground. So that I do not see something that I do not need to see. And friend, it used to be that the house of God was a place where you could escape to. Not to have to worry about those kinds of temptations and snares being set before you. But friend, those days are gone. And we live in a rebellious generation who will sit back and cross their arms and say, "Preacher, you're not going to tell me what I can and can't do." Friend, thank God those who have been saved by the grace of God don't need somebody to run around and police them all the time. Friend, when the truth is revealed to them, friend, they'll rejoice in holiness.
Amen.
They'll want to be holy because He's holy.
Amen.
Oh, friend, they'll recognize that that's what He saved me out of. And I don't ever want to go back to that again. Friend, little holiness is a sure sign that, friend, we know very little of the Christ of this Bible. I don't have time, and I'm not going to. There are times, friend, I don't mind camping out, spending time dealing with certain sins, and we've just done that at the church. We've gone through some things and dealt with some things. Friend, thank God whenever the heart is made right with God, a lot of those things you don't have to keep dealing with them.
That's right.
Because praise God, the Lord will change the heart of an individual. Mm-hmm. And they won't want to do or be what they once were and what they once did. They'll be a new creature in Christ Jesus.
Amen.
I say this, not only is there little holiness, friend, I find that we live in a day when there is much bitterness. I've seen it in the church back home. I've seen it growing up in a Baptist church. Oh, friend, we must be careful. That we have not a proud and an unforgiving spirit. Oh, let us be careful not to keep grudges and continually stir in our remembrance injuries that we've received from others. Let us not spend our time nursing wrath and keeping it alive. Friend, I know folk have probably done you wrong. I don't doubt that, and I do not diminish it in any way. No doubt there's some of you, you've lived long enough that you have had people cheat you, you have had people speak wrong about you, you have had people spread lies on you. But friend, can you not learn from Jesus to forgive them and to move on? Don't let their sin, don't let their wrongdoing, friend, hinder your relationship and your fellowship with Jesus Christ.
Right.
And friend, this is what it all comes down to. If if we ever see how wrong we did him, then we'll find no place to hold grudges and hurt feelings to anybody else. Now, having said that, it's easy for me to stand here and tell you that. But it takes the grace of God for that to become the reality in your life. So how do you know? Because I've been there. Early on as a pastor, facing troubles and fights, and having people run around and tell lies on you and spread things through the community. And I know Brother Pascal knows all about that. Some of you who are here today, you're not preachers. You know all about that. In business dealings, in everyday life. But friend, it was a good day when God helped me to stop having bitter and hurt feelings towards those people. And I'm going to tell you how I knew that he had worked that in my heart. It was the day that I could pray for them and weep over them and beg God to have mercy on them. Can I share something with you? There's still days when I feel that old bitterness rise up within me, and I've got to run back to God and say, God, help me. I don't want to go back to that. I don't want to be in that, Lord. Friend, when we find these, and there's more, I don't have time to deal with it all this morning, there's more, but when we find these things are ruling our lives, then friend, we know little to nothing of Jesus Christ.
That's right. That's right.
Have I not been so long with you?
That's good for you.
We could go a little further this morning. But I'm going to read this verse again, and I believe we're going to close right here today. And we'll come back, pick it up tonight. We'll deal with the rest of it, Lord willing, if that's the way He leads us and directs us. But I just feel like this is as far as God wants me to go this morning. You say, well, preacher, I'm not in that number of believers. I'm not in that number of those who are saved by the grace of God. What about me? Friend, it's the same truth, and it still remains to you today, and if we get to deal with it tonight, we'll deal with it. But friend, the text reads, Jesus saith unto him, have I been so long time with you, and yet hast thou not known me? The reality is this, and don't get me wrong, I believe you know me well enough by now. You know what I believe. I've not preached anything any different here than I preach at home.
Right.
I've sat and talked with some of you. I believe you understand. You know where I am. Salvation is of the Lord.
Yes, sir.
If God does not reveal himself,
that's right,
man will never see.
That's exactly right here.
But if he does reveal himself, oh, what glories there are to behold. Friend, I'm not telling you that you could have come before now. Friend, that's between you and God.
That's right.
But I believe that we could all agree and honestly say, even as it pertains to this church and these meetings, that Jesus himself could repeat to you the exact words that he has declared to Philip and the other disciples. How long time have I been with you, and you know me not?
Right, preacher, right.
Those of us who are saved by the grace of God, friend, there is no place for us to stop learning of Him.
Right.
And when we do, we will find ourselves in trouble. We will find ourselves in a snare if we're not careful. We as believers will learn of Him all the way to eternity. And my personal belief is we will spend all of eternity continuing to learn of Him. He is the high and the lofty one who inhabits eternity, whose name is holy. But friend, there's no place for us to stop now. There's no place for us to take a rest and say, well, I've learned all there is to know.
No, sir.
When we do, right, we put ourselves in danger. Mm-hmm. And isn't it sad that He's been so long time with us and we don't know Him any better than we do?
Right.
Aren't you glad, just as He didn't throw His hands up in our text and say, I'm done with you,
I'm glad He didn't,
I'm finished with this crowd, He doesn't do that with us.
Amen. I'm glad.
Thank God He keeps dealing with us and striving with us and being long-suffering and merciful to us. If it were not for that, friend, we'd have perished a long time ago. Thank God for His long-suffering, for His mercies. We'll come back tonight, Lord will, and try to deal with some more. But I think we need to stop there and consider what the Lord is speaking to our hearts. What a merciful and a precious Savior we have. He could say, with all right, I've been so long with you,
right, Bridget, right,
and you know me not. And yet He does not leave us to ourselves.
Yeah.
He does not lose His patience with us. Thank God for that. I don't know what your need is, but I know that Christ is the answer, and He is the sufficiency for whatever your need is.
Right.
You need to look to Him. Father, I bow.